account of the angel announcing Jesus' arrival to Mary isn't quite the first event that the New Testament tells us about. That honour goes to the announcement of John the Baptist's birth to Zechariah and Elizabeth. But it is of particular significance. The events described took place initially in Nazareth, where Mary lived, a small town at the other end of the country from the capital, Jerusalem. The kind of place where you wouldn't expect anything really special to happen. Unless, that is, you'd remembered the Old Testament prophecy that we looked at a couple of weeks ago that spoke of the birth of one who would change everything, who was to come from the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, where Nazareth was situated. But it seems not many people had really noticed that prophecy of Isaiah's. Mary was a woman who was not yet married, which in the world in those days probably meant she was still a teenager. But she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a local carpenter. On the day when this momentous event happened, the angel appeared to Mary and said, "Greetings, for you have found favour. The Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled by what she heard, no doubt wondering why an angel had been sent to her. But the Lord's supernatural messenger reassured her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." As Mary finished hearing the message that the angel had come to deliver, she was now just as troubled as she had been before. Mary asked him, "How will this be, since I've not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And look, your relative Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son in her old age. Although she was called barren, she's now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary replied, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. And since then, Christians down the ages have seen this story as, first of all, confirming our understanding how much it means to say that Jesus is King. The angels had declared he will be great and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And that could just be talking about the land of Israel once more having a king who was genuinely in charge, like they had done when King David was on the throne. Good news for the people of Israel, but in itself not a world-shaking event, you'd think. The words before that saying that Mary's child would be called the Son of the Most High, well, today they point us very obviously to the unique way in which Jesus was the Son of God come to earth. But to Mary, those words in themselves might not have meant nearly that much. After all, in Old Testament times, David and the other kings are seen as God's adopted sons on earth sometimes. But the last words of the angel's initial message, "His kingdom will never end," promise a lot more than just the coming of a very good human king. Because, of course, even the best of earthly rulers don't reign forever. I thought the oldest regular monarch might have been our Queen Elizabeth II. But she was beaten, apparently, by King Malabu II of the Bubai Kingdom, who lived to the age of 105. Of course, only that age. One day, even he passed away. Jesus' kingdom, though, will be forever, the angel declares, for he reigns now in heaven and will one day resume his reign here on earth. For despite being born in the usual way, his beginning, Mary is told, is to be unlike that of any other human being. Whereas every other person, as well as having a human mother, also has a human father, even if sometimes the person might not know who they are, sadly. In Jesus' case, the beginning of his growing in Mary's womb is to come about in a unique way, through the Holy Spirit's supernatural intervention. And as you'll remember, when Mary asks how that can be, she's told by the angel, "Nothing is impossible with God." Some of you may perhaps know this little book. I guess most people will at least have come across the Mr. Men series that it belongs to, about a person who, as well as looking quite like any other regular human being, could also jump over a house, fly, walk up the trunk of a tree, do a handstand without either hand touching the ground, kick a football so high into the clouds it comes back with snow on it, disappear at the drop of a hat, and finish the day by sleeping standing on his head. We're not meant to believe that it happened, though. It's a story to amuse us. But the Bible's claim is that the coming of Jesus really did happen in the extraordinary way that the angel described. For nothing is impossible for the God who made our world and everything in it. He is, if you like, the real Mr. Impossible. And these verses from Luke chapter 2 give us, in Mary, a shining example of what it means to accept and trust in God's plans, both for us and for his world. Mary replied to all that the angel had said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it happen to me as you have said." And the Lord Jesus himself taught us to say something rather similar to that in our prayers to God as we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Sometimes this kind of response will be an acceptance of God's plans for us when we see the miracle that we long for and pray for. After all, if what we call the impossible happened all of the time, we'd have stopped calling it impossible. Sometimes, as we realise that God's plans for us, though exciting, may be very demanding and difficult, these words may have a rather different meaning. Even with the miracle that began it, life as the mother of God's son was going to present Mary with many challenges and sadnesses. And so it can often be for us as well. Either way, we're inspired to follow her example in committing ourselves to serve the Lord in whatever way he chooses, perhaps even echoing her own words sometimes in our prayers, "Let it happen to me as you have said." Amen.